Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Thursday edition of the program live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. And our reminder that if you miss our program each day at 11 o'clock and you want to catch it, or you miss a segment, you want to go back and hear something again, lots of ways to do that. You can find us as a podcast. We are available each day on Apple Podcasts and on SoundCloud as well. So plenty of ways to catch up with the show, and no matter how you're with us, so we hope each and every day, each weekday that is, we're glad that you're joining us as we talk IU basketball, IU sports, and of course lots of things from a Southern Indiana perspective as well. We're a day away from heading into the weekend. I think it's supposed to get warmer starting today, and hopefully some of the rain clear out, although I do think there's a chance for some late into the weekend, but the only thing we're missing as we get into some of these good spring weekends is some sports. And obviously baseball would be king if it was business as usual at this time of year. But we know that right now everything is far from usual. There's no question about that. So tracking everything in sports, what's going on, cancellations, NCAA, it's been a big week for them as far as some announcements about what's going to be canceled, extended, dead periods for recruiting, and we'll cover some of that here in just a few moments as well. But that's kind of the routine right now in sports. So we've had locally some coaching changes. Obviously, it's always fun to think about next year, but just nothing local. I think every day that, you know, we would be on from some of the big high school baseball games locally. We would have IU baseball to talk about, which is always kind of a fun reprieve. And to be quite honest, if it wasn't for everything being postponed or canceled from a recruiting perspective, we'd probably have a lot more basketball recruiting to talk about. We've had some commitments and some offers and some visits and, you know, interviews with recruits and things like that. It's not all dead, but if coaches were on the road a couple weekends in the spring, we would be getting new names. We would be hearing about new offers going out. Kids would maybe be at this point beginning to cut their lists some, and that's still happening in some cases. But obviously, it's a much different year, and I don't think there's any question that it's going to be a much different year all the way through the end of this year. Let's hope that at the end of this year that things are getting better. I mean, obviously, we hope things are getting better sooner rather than later, but fall sports, do they get played? College football, what does it look like? What schools are playing? What schools are not playing? When does the season start? Are fans there? What does social distancing in football stadiums look like that are playing? So many things to think about. And, of course, more immediate, the Major League Baseball and the NBA, it appears, are getting closer to making some decisions about their seasons. Lots of thought out there that Major League Baseball is going to resume at some point, maybe with games around July 4th and early July. NBA, you hear different things. There have been different reports out that, you know, maybe getting closer to reconvening the season and using a couple super sites to play all the games and keep the players together in, you know, one environment, one hotel situation. Walt Disney World mentioned Las Vegas, another option. Then you hear other times that, well, votes going out to the union players and we don't know how it's going to go. So interesting times ahead. There is absolutely no question about that, both on the sports front and, again, with the health front. and many other things that have been affected with the current pandemic that we find ourselves in. Let's get into the show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a moment. A few things to get to, a couple NCAA notes about the recruiting calendar and the NBA draft. Also, a very interesting quotes from Matt Painter on Wednesday. Yesterday, he was on Dan Dockich's radio show, which is based out of Indianapolis. And Nojel Eastern obviously recently announced that he's not transferring, but entering the portal, which basically means he's looking for a new home and is effectively leaving the Purdue program. And Matt Harms recently left Purdue as well as a transfer. In fact, he went to BYU and he picked BYU over Kentucky in his final decision. So interesting comments from the rival coach of the Hoosiers. I like Painter. He's very honest of a guy. He cuts any slack when it comes to some of his comments. And this goes over the year, but I want to read some of what he had to say yesterday. We'll do that in the headlines segment as well and cover a couple other local things in our headlines brought to you by Zaxby's. Later in the show, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, he is with us as well. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk a little bit about Purdue losing two players, what that means for, the rival program in the state and in the Big Ten for Indiana, and more with Alex when he's with us today. Also, later in the show, he couldn't be with us Wednesday. We had to squeeze some things around, but he's going to join us today. That's Josh Cook, the sports editor of the News and Tribune. And Josh will be with us to talk some local sports headlines in our weekly chat with him, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. Of course, with Josh, we've got lots of local, I don't want to say lots, but we've had a number of local openings, high school basketball coaching openings that have been filled here in the last few days or so. So we'll definitely cover that and other topics as well. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to, when you spend $15 or more at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, you are eligible for a large bone-in ham at 50% off. So you spend $15, you can get a large bone-in ham, an additional to your order, at half off, which is a heck of a deal, limited time at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. All right, let's jump into some Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Yesterday, the NCAA announced, actually it was earlier this week, they said they were going to extend the recruiting dead period through June 30th. Then on Tuesday, the NCAA canceled the college basketball academies that take place at four regional sites on college campuses around the country. In addition to all of that, the NCAA has now said that they are going to extend the deadline, which is currently June 3rd, when a player has to make a decision on if they are staying in the NBA draft or pulling their name and going to return to college. So we do know that that date, that time frame, will be extended. From an IU perspective, it really doesn't mean a whole bunch for next year's team other than Justin Smith. He's declared that he's going to test the waters, use it, I'm assuming, as a learning opportunity. Ultimately, I would be shocked, many others as well, if he doesn't return to Bloomington for another year of college basketball. But when you look at that deadline, June 3rd was kind of the, okay, that's when for sure, 100%, no surprises, we're likely going to know the IU roster for next year. I think we'll find out something on Christian Lander reasonably soon, if he's going to reclassify and join the roster for next season as a freshman. There could still be an open spot even with Lander, but you know, you get into June and July and it's just really not likely unless something crazy happens. Although, you know, someone pointed this out to me, as late as I thought it was for Demezi Anderson to enter the transfer portal and to leave Indiana, Nojel Eastern just a couple days ago leaving Purdue in the middle of May, that's getting really late. Now, he'll find a home. There's no question about that. There'll be a spot for someone like him at whatever level of college hoops I would assume that he wants to play. But definitely a different time to do it this late. There's no question about that. So one thing to keep an eye on, the deadline to pull your name out was June 3rd, and it's going to be pushed back from that date. And, of course, I think there's still some unknown about the whole NBA draft process. Will the date of the draft stick? Will there be a combine, which has already been canceled or postponed? It was supposed to take place, I think it would have started today or tomorrow in Chicago. There's a lot of NBA activities this weekend in Chicago, and all of it's been canceled, including the combine. So will there be a combine sometime in June? Will it be allowed? Will there be some kind of virtual workout for scouts and coaches and NBA personnel to watch? I think there's still a lot up in the air, at least nothing that's been announced publicly about the draft. So it's going to be, as the NFL draft was in its own regard, it's going to be the most interesting NBA draft, and I think fun to watch. I love watching the draft, especially the first round. It's going to be the most interesting draft maybe ever because of these scenarios. I don't know that it's at all like the best class like it was a year ago where you got Zion and other people like that highlighting the top of it, but it's going to be very interesting just to see how procedurally it happens, how it happens, and what happens leading up to it most importantly, because the guys that aren't the surefire lottery picks and maybe first round picks, they really use this time. This combine is 60 something players that the NBA has. It's a really, I've been in the, not during the combine, but been in the facility. It's unbelievable what they have. They got two courts with games going. They've got measurements and things off to the side. And there's not a lot of seating. It is absolutely packed with NBA personnel during that. And so for that not to happen, maybe at all for the draft, you know, you're looking at lots of players that raise their stock every year that weekend. And maybe that starts the discussion between them and some NBA teams that were impressed. And then they get individual type workouts or small group workouts. And you always, there's people that fall in the draft. There's people that rise in the draft. It's going to be really interesting this year without a normal landscape and maybe no combine or no events leading up to it at all, at least in-person events, which would be completely different this year. Also, I promised some comments from Matt Painter on Dan Dockich's radio show on Wednesday. Very interesting stuff. He covered a lot of topics about surrounding transfers. He didn't really name anybody directly, I guess, in person. I think he did talk about Nojel Eastern's transfer directly. But on Nojel Eastern leaving Purdue, you know, he misses out on some stuff. He doesn't leave as a graduate transfer. He doesn't have a degree lined up. And here's what Matt Painter said. He said, quote, "We're going to move on. We've got a lot of great things going on at Purdue, and it's his loss. When you walk out the door and you turn your back, you're clearly not thinking about the big picture and what Purdue can do for you. I didn't deserve all this after graduating from Purdue, but it's the power of being at a great institution and being loyal. It's hard, man. Life is not a walk in the park, but the ones that stay positive and push forward, they're the ones who are successful in the long run." Also, he talked about kind of his feelings about Matt Harms and Nojel Eastern. And again, this is Matt Painter being very candid. Would Archie Miller, would a lot of other Division I coaches go on a radio show that's widely listened to across the state and talk about players from their own program that just left? Here's what he said about Harms and Eastern. Quote, "I love those guys, and I mean that about both of those guys. But when it's obviously not better for you academically or basketball-wise, I feel for them." Matt, talking about Matt Harms, was going to do that. Excuse me, but he also got his degree from Purdue. Jelly, talking about Nojel, is walking out of here without his degree. That's not smart, but I'm really biased. Still, you must have gotten your degree from Purdue, but you're not a Boilermaker if you walk out the door in the end. Those are very interesting comments. The final thing he was asked, and this is natural, when two upperclassmen leave your program, I don't care if it's Indiana or any college basketball program, people from the outside are going to say, you know, those are two pretty big names in Boilermaker basketball right now. Harms obviously didn't get all the playing time or the starts he wanted. Nojel Eastern, you could say, even though he's been a very good defensive player over the years, maybe didn't have the season that he was expected to last year. What's wrong at Purdue? That's the first thought, right? When you lose two players, it was my thought, wonder what's going on at Purdue. This isn't something you typically see there. Here's what Coach Painter said about if anything's wrong at Purdue. He said, quote, "What's going on at Purdue? Nothing's going on at Purdue. To me, it's all about competition. Mason Gillis and Brandon Newman, they redshirted last year, and I really like them. Ethan Morton, he's the best passer I've ever recruited. Jaden Ivey. He's really good. I like where we are, and I like what we're doing. A lot of times it just comes down to competition. Matt, talking about Matt Harms in the simplest terms, we tried to play those two guys together, talking about Harms and Trevon Williams, and it didn't work. That's competition, and Trevon was playing better. With no gel, somebody's not playing. They decide that, not me. It's competitive. If you don't want to be here, the door swings both ways. When you get on teams, it doesn't matter. You're still going to harp on the same things. Everyone has to sacrifice in a team sport to have success. And I wish I had the actual audio from Coach Painter himself to play, because it really, I think, impressive to be that direct about a situation, to answer potential concerns about your program. Very interesting stuff from Matt Painter yesterday, no question about that. Also, if you missed it yesterday, or actually Tuesday night, Andrew Grant's the new boys basketball coach at Jeffersonville. Missy Voiles has been approved as the new girls basketball coach at Jeffersonville. And then earlier in the week, Hayden Casey was approved as the new boys basketball coach at Christian Academy, replacing Steve Kerberg. So some activity here recently on the basketball front as far as coaches goes for the upcoming season. There's no question that that probably will be, if not all, the bulk of the movements in this off season for the high school basketball scene. All right, that's the headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Thank you so much for being with us today. Don't forget, in addition to our guest coming up here, we also have our senior spotlight later in the program. We'll have that for you as well. But hold with us. We've got Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall next as we talk IU basketball, a little bit more on the Purdue transfers, and some college hoop stuff in general. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with me. We talk IU basketball and more. And Alex, I don't think any surprise, but a number of different announcements from the NCAA this week, extending the recruiting dead period. We found out more about July. The college basketball academies are going to be canceled. And then most recently, the date, the June 3rd cutoff to say I'm in the draft, coming out of the draft and going back to college, we now know that that's going to be pushed back as well. And I think that that could be, depending on the severity of this pandemic and depending on the path that some of the leagues and organizations like the NCAA take moving forward, the biggest news we're going to get over the next couple of weeks is going to be, is some of this stuff going to happen? Is it going to be postponed further, or is it going to be canceled? And that, of course, ultimately ends up this fall with fall sports and college football.
Yeah, there's it's a quick-moving, fluid landscape, it seems like. There's a lot of different things coming out, as you mentioned. I was not at all surprised to see the extension of the dead period through June in terms of an impact from basketball perspective. That basically means that, you know, the past couple of years, I believe there was a couple periods in June where coaches could go out and watch high school teams play. I never thought that was going to happen this year. So, you know, the next big thing, I guess, on the horizon from a college basketball calendar perspective is what happens with July. And I would be almost shocked at this point, Matt, to see anything resembling close to a normal July. I think we're just kind of to the point now where we're going to expect things to be canceled until things maybe start reopening with a little bit more uniformity around the country. This week, obviously, the news out of California that several of the California State University campuses will be going to online only, I think, has kind of brought some doubt into what's going to happen with some fall sports, particularly football. The fascinating thing about all this is, as states kind of move at different paces and do different things, somebody with the NCAA or somebody that's in the decision-making position needs to kind of step forward and figure out what the procedures are going to be in terms of having some of these fall sports. I don't think it's realistic to have certain conferences starting on time and others not starting. I just don't see how that would be productive for the sport. So it seems like more than anything else, you know, as the days go by and we learn more about this, it's really casting a doubt on to when things are going to get back to normal, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be the case for that anytime soon.
Yeah, I was headed to that with the NCAA, because just before we came back from commercial break, the SoCon conference announced or put out a release of all the reductions that they are going to have essentially in services. And a lot of that was limiting conference tournaments to maybe just the top four in a lot of sports. I think men's basketball still was set for a normal tournament. I just briefly read over the release. There were a number of other cutbacks, virtual media days, which are always a big way to build up the start of the season and the start of conference play. Gets a lot of publicity for, you know, seniors and upperclassmen that are competing for awards in college basketball. Gives the chances of the coaches a platform, a chance to really be heard as well. Lots of things cut back, and it's just a matter of time. If these the MAC and now the SoCon are making these cutbacks, it's just a matter of time until other Division I conferences, maybe not the high majors, but I think everyone will have some level of cutbacks. I guess where I'm headed, Alex, here with this, and there's a lot going on right now to take in and to ponder and to wonder about, but NCAA came out earlier this week and said, you know, we're not going to set a uniform start date for college football or for any fall sport. We're focused on our fall championships and making those the best that we can. But really, the start of the season is going to be up to the local university presidents, their staffs, and, of course, health officials in each state and locally as well. A lot of people, I think, scratch their head and say, if you're not going to bring some uniformity to it, and I know there could be different concerns in different areas of the country, that's going to be something that continues throughout this pandemic, I would think. But a lot of people say, if you're not going to bring that uniformity, what kind of governing body and overall organization are you, I guess, is my point here.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously an unprecedented situation, but I agree with kind of what you're saying in terms of, you know, having fall sports. The NCAA needs to come up with a plan and guidelines. You can't have, you know, two or three conferences starting on time, and then you can't, and then other conferences not playing at all, and then have anything close to resembling a normal kind of championship season for your fall sports. It would be obviously an unbalanced situation where you have certain schools who maybe get to practice earlier than others or get to have workouts, and it creates kind of an imbalance in terms of the playing field. So I agree. I would like to see some kind of plan set forward or kind of dates, drop dead dates, where you kind of have to have at least a certain percentage of schools committed to playing their seasons. Otherwise, it needs to be pushed back, because, you know, the SEC seems to be, from a football perspective right now, digging in, saying they want to play on time and all that. And I understand it from a money perspective, but on the other side of things, you can't really say that, you know, you're going to have two or three leagues playing and then other leagues kind of coming online months later. That's just not going to result in kind of a good final product, I don't think, for the season.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. We're talking about some of the either changes or expected changes to the college basketball and sports landscape here coming up because of the COVID-19 financial disaster, really, for a lot of the athletic departments. And, of course, keep in mind, if there is no college football, man, the financial situations for many of these athletic programs is just going to get worse and worse. I don't think there's any question about that. I do want to get to the Purdue transfers. Matt Harms a few weeks ago, now earlier this week, Nojel Eastern. Kind of head scratchers, make you wonder. That's the natural reaction to have. Not that the sky is falling at Purdue or anything like that, but when two upperclassmen do exit a program, it's just the natural form to take. Wonder what's going on. Wonder if there's a problem. Wonder if something's going on with the team. And credit to Matt Painter. He was on Dan Dockich's show yesterday. I read some of the comments that he made in the first segment. He's very direct. He's very honest. He was willing to take on some of those tough questions and I'm sure tough answers as well. But I think you agree with what I'm going to say. I'm not sure that losing those guys is going to have a great negative effect on Purdue next year. I'm not sure they were expected to have some banner season in the first place. But I'm curious your thoughts on their departure and also your thoughts on Coach Painter's comments yesterday on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't listen to the interview, but I saw some of the comments. Wasn't surprised about kind of what he said. He's always been a guy that has kind of told it like it is, and I think a lot of people respect that about him. I know I sure do. There's so many politics involved in coaching at that level, and he's been pretty much a straight shooter ever since I've listened to his press conferences. And I know you know him a little bit, Matt. He's just kind of a breath of fresh air to have somebody that's willing to kind of speak their mind and give their opinion. In terms of the impact on Purdue's team, I mean, Matt Harms wasn't going to start next year for them, I don't think. Travion Williams had kind of beat him out. Harms obviously would have had a role, but not much of a scorer, pretty good defensive player. But, you know, that to me isn't a huge loss. Nojel Eastern obviously is a really good defensive player, one of the best defensive players in the Big Ten, but he's so limited offensively that, you know, a lot of teams could just not guard him. And that kind of allows you to guard other players on the court who can maybe space the floor a little bit more closely and not have to help off at all. So, I mean, ultimately, I think Purdue's going to be a better team next year than they were this year. And a lot of that's based on just some of their younger guys getting a little bit more experience and Brandon Newman becoming eligible. They got some really good freshmen, Jaden Ivey and Ethan Morton coming in too. I think that maybe would have taken some of those minutes from Eastern. So overall, from Purdue's perspective, I wouldn't be too worried about losing both of those guys. I mean, they were two of their more featured players this year, and they weren't a very good team. So I think ultimately Matt Painter will figure it out. He's one of the best in the Big Ten in terms of putting together and building teams. Doesn't always get the best talent, but he can get players and mold them into what he wants them to be, and they win a lot of games. So, you know, I had no problem with what he said. I thought he was honest. I thought he was straightforward. And also, from a Purdue perspective, if I'm a Purdue fan, I'm not all that worried that those two guys are leaving.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, you know, this time of year, especially with what we're going through, it's a fun time to look at the different beat writers and different sites, websites, that is, around the country that cover different college basketball programs, especially the Big Ten. I mean, that's just the conference I grew up with. It's what I enjoy watching. It's a style of play I like, even if Indiana's not participating in the game. And, you know, maybe there's an Inside the Hall site at every school doing what you're doing for every college program in the conference. It's fun to look at those and read their early thoughts on next season. And I've read a number of stories, whether it be from a newspaper or a website recently, thinking about different programs for next season and kind of my thoughts on the Big Ten Conference and what it could look like, and, of course, most importantly, where Indiana could maybe place in the conference next year. But the one thing that really struck me, I was reading some stuff about Illinois. I was reading some stuff about Rutgers and their bit of a resurgence and other programs as well. We know Indiana. We know Purdue. We know Ohio State. Gosh, dog, right now the Big Ten is in a good place with coaches as far as big-name coaches, successful coaches that have already at some level, whether it's the high major level or maybe the mid-major level coming out of a place like Dayton, which I think you'd have to call a mid-major plus if you're ranking or scoring the schools based on their success and size. If you're doing that, my goodness, the Big Ten right now is in a great time with coaches. So many proven coaches, so many young coaches, so many already successful coaches. The conference sure looks good for the future when you just look at the coaching perspective of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only guy that hasn't made the tournament, and maybe he did at his previous job, was Pat Chambers. I can't remember if before he came to Penn State at his previous job, if he made the tournament or not. And he was going to make it this year. I mean, even Northwestern and Chris Collins, they've had some down years, but he got them to the tournament. Steve Peichel hasn't gotten Rutgers to the tournament yet. Would have this year, but got Stony Brook to the tournament. I mean, there's not you know, even Fred Hoiberg, I think a lot of people think he's going to get things done at Nebraska. He did a lot of good things at Iowa State. It's going to take him some time. So there's not really any programs that you look at and say, you know, this is going to have to be, there's going to have to be a change here anytime soon. I mean, there seems to be a lot of stability right now. Obviously, things change over time, and there will probably be some coaches on the way out and on the way in, just based on performance in the coming years. But right now, it looks like on paper that it's a pretty good cast of characters, and I think it makes it even more difficult for Indiana to kind of climb the ladder in the conference when you have pretty much no weak links at any of the schools in terms of a coaching perspective. It's going to be ultra competitive. I think the league is in really good shape, and hopefully that translates into getting a national championship sooner rather than later, since it's been 20 years now.
Alex, as we think about the Big Ten for next year, I think we've already chatted about your thoughts for this early point right now about where Indiana could be. I think when we know what happens with Justin Smith, and again, if I'm a betting person, I would bet he returns to Bloomington and does not keep his name in the draft for this year at least. But if I'm a betting person, I bet he returns, and there sure seems to be the thought that Christian Lander, and a lot of it's what Christian has said, is doing everything he can to reclassify. So if Smith comes back, if Christian Lander is added to the roster instead of a 2021 member as a 2020 class addition, that would leave one spot, which, again, Nojel Eastern just entered the transfer portal a few days ago, so there is the possibility of late transfers, late graduate transfers, and other ways to add players even at a late date, especially during a pandemic. I think that's what we have to remind ourselves. But let's say that Lander is added. Let's say that Smith does come back. That pretty much, outside of a potential late addition, that's your roster for next year. And as we've discussed, that's a pretty deep roster. A lot of guys on there that'll want some playing time.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said, as long as Lander's situation does work out, I don't think from an IU perspective that you go out and try to get anybody else, because unless it's a sit-out transfer, anyone you'd want to get would be an impact piece. And do you really need other that many holes to fill? You know, you go the grad transfer route and you run the risk of getting into a situation like what you have with Evan Fitzner, with, you know, someone that really can't contribute much on the court. There might be a bright spot or two during the season, but it wasn't a huge impact. So I'm probably standing pat as long as Lander can come in next year, because you got pretty good front court depth, obviously, with Race Thompson, Trace Jackson Davis, Joey Brunk. And then in the backcourt, I think you have five or six guys who are going to compete for minutes. So I just don't really see the need to fill that spot, especially with a 2021 class where you're having a chance to really add some guys in state. You know, Blake Wesley and Trey Kaufman come to mind immediately as two guys that Indiana will want to have a scholarship open for. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how it all shakes out. But I think, assuming Lander can come in 2020, I think you stand pat with the 12 guys that would be on the roster for that.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest. Lots of activity right now, even in this downtime, at InsideTheHall.com. You can also follow Alex on Twitter, at Inside the Hall. You recently had a draft, kind of building some different teams to hypothetically compete against each other, which is kind of another pretty cool activity to look at some IU greats in this time. You've had some Q&As with former players, anywhere from Tom Pritchard to a number of recent IU graduates that have all been very, very interesting to read. So no shortage of content at Inside the Hall. And Alex, as always, we appreciate having your voice with us each week here on the show.
Absolutely, Matt. Talk to you again next week.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, with us. We'll head to a commercial break and come back with Josh Cook. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. Our segment with Josh each week, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. We'll talk some local happenings with Josh, coaching changes, and other things as well, so stay with us for that. And also, we'll wrap up the show in the next segment with our senior spotlight, Samuel Stricker of New Washington High School, a member of the baseball team. We'll profile him. He lost his senior year like so many others here in the state and across the country, and he's our senior spotlight today. To a commercial break we go. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, joins us in just moments. Also, later in this segment, we have our senior spotlight. And today we focus on a new Washington High School student, a baseball player for the Mustangs. Samuel Stricker will be our profile today as we close out the program here in just a bit. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, joins. This segment is presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs, including t-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items, screen printing, embroidery, fully sublimated uniforms, whatever it may be. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com. to find out more. Josh, a number of coaching changes here in the last week, specifically three new coaches hired on the basketball front at our local schools, but probably no bigger story right now than Jeffersonville, the boys basketball program, approving former Providence coach Andrew Grants on Tuesday night as the next boss of the Red Devils program.
Yeah, actually, both of those, I think, were probably, I would say, home run hires for Jeff. You know, those are big, good gets for the Red Devils on both sides, with Missy on the girls' side and Andrew on the boys' side. But yeah, I mean, obviously, they're two successful coaches, and Andrew, you know, was successful at Providence, then went to Florida and was successful there, and you know, now he's back home and he's taking over at Jeff, and you know, I expect big things out of him.
Talking with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. You know, Andrew Grants enters the program for Jeff, obviously, as someone that's got a good track record. Young and upcoming, I think, would be good descriptive words to describe what he's been able to do so far at his different stops in coaching. But he also represents something that Jeffersonville really needs. And with his youth and his willingness to work, he's had lots of conversations, even yesterday when he joined the program, about what he's got to do in the community and what he's got to do with the youth to build something that can be sustainable for long term. That's something, if you look back through Jeffersonville with all the coaching turnover they've had, even at a very sound program historically, getting someone in there that can lead that program for a number of consecutive seasons, get through tough times, win in good times, balance it all out in the end, that's what they need. I believe number one is stability.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Like you said, they've had a number of coaches over the last, I don't even know, 10, 12, 20 years, I guess, you know, since Mike Broughton. You know, somebody who can stay in there, you know, 5-10 years maybe. I mean, who knows what can happen. I mean, I'm expecting a state championship. Don't tell Andrew that. No, I expect big things from him. Yeah, I was just looking back, and I don't know any coach who's been there more than maybe four or five years. So, you know, getting that stability and getting those people to stick around for a number of years is a big thing, and I think they get that with Andrew.
Josh Cook, sports editor. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company. You know, it's not just Jeff. The other day, and of course we've all got more time now to look back at records and history and things that normally in a fast paced world you don't have the chance to. But you don't see coaches in our area, and I'm talking boys basketball specifically, and really even across the state. You do not see guys that stay there for 15, 20, 25 years, which used to be, I don't want to say common, but somewhat of a regular thing. When you thought about a really good program that pretty much won and had success, year in and year out with the occasional down year, you could say, oh, man, that coach at Warsaw, that coach at North Central, that coach at Anderson, that coach at wherever has been there for a long time. He's really got things rolling his way. And now when you think about it locally, as far as coaches that have been there for that type of period, 15 years or longer, I'd really have to look long and hard. But Jim Shannon, obviously, at New Albany has to lead the pack as he enters, what is it for him, upcoming? I think year number 23 at New Albany is what's forthcoming with the next high school basketball season. And then maybe somewhere behind him, and I'm just going off the top of my head, I think would be Doc Nash at Borden, who's getting ready for year 15. You don't see that on a regular basis in our state or even in this area anymore.
No, you really don't. And I don't know, you know, exactly what it is. Maybe it's just, burnout or what. But, yeah, it is a rare thing to see coaches, 15, 20 years at the same place anymore. But now, I don't know, maybe we're getting into that. Maybe we've got, Andrew might be there for 10 or something years. Ryan Miller at Providence, he might be there, 10 years, 15 years, who knows? Hopefully we've got some of those coaches now who are going to be there for a while.
Josh, also I want to mention that Hayden Casey was hired at Christian Academy. He's probably not a real familiar name to listeners in the area like Andrew Grant's may be, but he's a young coach, an extremely young coach that works at it very hard and has a great background from working at Christian Academy under Steve Kerberg to learning as a high schooler growing up under Doc Nash. He's got some great tutelage behind him, and I think by all accounts, when you look at the hires, including Missy Voiles, let's make sure we mention her, three really strong figures hired to represent schools and programs in our Clark and Floyd County area this week.
Yeah, definitely. And Hayden's been right there with Steve Kerberg for quite a while, like you said. So, expect him to, big success from him too, to keep it rolling from what Steve had it. And, expect him to be there for a while too. And his sister, is also the girls coach. So that's always interesting as well.
That would be another interesting fact to research, Josh. Are there any other brother-sister duos in the state of Indiana coaching the girls and the boys, the head coaches of the high school basketball team? So maybe that could be our trivia for next week. You can have
I venture to say that may be the only one. I don't know. We'll see.
This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. If you're looking to raise money for your team or event, let Major League get your online fan store working for you. You can outfit fans and raise money with very little effort. Major League Shirt Company even does the sorting. All you've got to do is cash the check. You can find out about this fundraising opportunity at mlshirtco.com. I want to continue on with kind of a general question. We don't know exactly, Josh, what's going to happen with fall sports. We do know that right now school buildings close through June 30th. IHSA saying that schools can do their summer workouts if the school allows and agrees to open the facility in the month of July, unless there's further guidance that prohibits that from the Indiana Department of Education or state government or the governor. So it looks like if we can get in some activity in July, get in especially some football practices, I think that's because of the type of sport and the physicality of the sport. That might be the biggest challenge to get those kids prepared and give them plenty of prep time. But if we can get that in and the numbers, the hospitalizations, the other things with this virus that you really want to watch and be concerned about, if they stay down, if they decrease, if they stay at reasonable levels, maybe we'll have fall sports. But I still think for everybody saying, well, they're going to do stuff in July, so fall sports, you can count on it happening now. I think that type of mentality is a little ahead of – you'd be ahead of yourself by thinking that.
Yeah, it's very optimistic kind of thinking. But, like you said, they're moving along with some stuff. July, hopefully – get the ball rolling at least a little bit, start getting conditioning and all that kind of stuff. So that'd be the first step. You gotta get to July 1st and start doing that kind of stuff first before we go full steam ahead with the fall sports. But I'm like everybody else is hopeful that happens and that come
Josh,
end of August we've got girls golf and all that kind of stuff.
Josh, before we let you go, all area team for boys basketball. I know that's always an interesting thing for fans to see and follow. That will come out, I think, reasonably soon in an upcoming edition of the News and Tribune.
Yeah, yeah, we've still got wrestling and boys basketball left, and both of those should be running probably within the next week or so, I would say.
Great stuff.
Watch for those.
Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Josh, thank you so much for the chat.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. We'll wrap things up with our senior spotlight for a spring sport athlete who has lost their senior year. This is a fun thing to do every day. You hate that we have to do it because of losing high school sports in the spring and so many seniors that won't get a chance to go back out on a sport that they focused on for so long. But it is fun to get to know these young men and women across Clark and Floyd County that have had outstanding careers. And today, Samuel Stricker of New Washington High School is our senior spotlight, a baseball player for the Mustangs. Athletically, 4 years of tennis, three of those years he was on the varsity tennis team, 3 years of basketball at New Washington, one varsity year, and was 2017 sectional and regional champions, part of the program at those junctures as well. 3 years of varsity baseball. Of course, this would have been his fourth year of varsity baseball for Samuel Stricker of New Washington. Academically, he's set to graduate with an associate's degree, which is amazing. We've seen a lot of our profile athletes say that when they graduate high school, they've already got that college associate's two-year degree in line, which is just an amazing thing. Samuel, an AB honor roll student, perfect attendance at New Washington, also a member of the National Honors Society. As far as hobbies away from school and sports, loves fishing, loves watching or playing any sport, and being active, being outside, and spending time with friends and family. Samuel wanted to give some shout-outs. He said, "I would like to thank my high school coach, John Aaron. He pushed me every day in practice because he knew what kind of ball player I could be. He never gave up on me. Even though he just started coaching last year, I have learned a lot about the wonderful game of baseball with him. And most importantly, off the field, John is one of my best friends." Samuel Stricker is the son of Robert and Amy Stricker, and after high school, when he graduates from New Washington here later this month, he plans on either going, he planned on going to Hanover College or Oakland City, but he told me just before the show that he has made his college decision. I'm glad I remembered that. He's committed to Manchester University, so he is going to play college baseball at Manchester, stay in the state, play at one of the great small college universities we have, and great to see that Samuel Stricker and his baseball career will continue. So congratulations on a couple things, Sam. Congratulations on your commitment to Manchester and for all the work that you've put in. Baseball, tennis, basketball as well at New Washington, staying very active, but still getting it done in the classroom as well. It's got you set up for great things ahead. We're sorry you missed your senior year, but we wanted to give you a shout out for all the work and effort that you guys, all your teammates and you as well, have put into sports and school over the years. Samuel Stricker of New Washington, our senior spotlight for this Thursday edition of the program. That wraps up the show. We got one more this week at 11 a.m. tomorrow. On Friday, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins to talk high school basketball, recruiting, and more. Also on our Friday program, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call on IU basketball and college hoops. We'll do that tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Thank you, seniors, for the memories. And thanks all of our senior spotlight sponsors, Scott Aldridge of Edward Jones, Walnut Ridge Landscaping, and UPS.com/Louisville.